Take your New Testament, if you will, and open to the book of Hebrews again, Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, appreciate the reading of that text earlier this morning, verse 1 through 11. It is said in our text that after suffering, Jesus became the author of eternal salvation. Hebrews chapter 5, begin our reading in verse 8. Though he was a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered. He learned obedience. Learned there means he learned by practice. That is, it was his habitual practice to obey God. He learned obedience by the things which he suffered. And having been perfected, verse 9, the perfected under consideration is having become completely qualified as our great high priest, because that's the subject of the chapter. Jesus Christ being our great high priest according to the order of Melchizedek. So having been perfected, he became the author of eternal salvation. Not just our immediate salvation from sin, but our eternal salvation. He became the author of eternal salvation to all who obey him. Our interest this morning is in this word, author. Author. The authors of salvation is the title of our study. The authors of salvation. But the text says that Jesus Christ is the author of eternal salvation. This word author is translated source in most of the newer versions, English Standard Version and others. He is the source of eternal salvation. In the Young's literal translation, he translates the word cause. He is the cause of our eternal salvation. Vine, in his Dictionary of New Testament Words, defines this Greek word translated author here as that which causes something. That which causes something. Thayer's Greek English Lexicon is in agreement with that. So Jesus caused something. What did he cause? He caused our eternal salvation. But in a very distinctive sense, it can be said that there are other factors or others involved in causing our salvation. Even though our text says that Jesus Christ is the author or the cause of eternal salvation, in a very distinctive sense, others are also the cause of our salvation. So let's look at the causes or the prime factors in this salvation. First of all, it must be said that God is the cause of salvation. Why should it be said that God is the cause of salvation? Because he is the planner of our salvation. Ephesians chapter 1, beginning our reading in verse 3. Ephesians chapter 1 in verse 3. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places in Christ, just as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, having predestined us to adoption as the sons by Jesus Christ to himself, according to the good pleasure of his will, to the praise of the glory of his grace, by which he has made us accepted in the beloved, or made us objects of grace in the beloved, that is in Christ Jesus. It can be said then that God is the cause of our salvation, in that he is the one who planned our salvation even before the foundation of the world. In Ephesians chapter 2, beginning in verse 4 in our reading, Ephesians 2 and verse 4, but God, who is rich in mercy because of his great love with which he loved us, even when we were dead in trespasses, made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved, and raised us up together and made us sit together in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, that in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his grace in his kindness toward us in Christ Jesus. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It, salvation, is the gift of God, and not of yourselves, lest any man should boast. So truly it can be said that God is the cause of our salvation, because he planned it. It was by His grace. It was by the favor that He extended to us in Christ Jesus. It was because of His great love for us. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. So in a very distinctive sense, it can be said that God is the cause of our salvation. But it also must be said, since our text declares it, that Christ is the cause of salvation. He is the author or cause of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. It can be said that Christ is the cause of our salvation because He is our great high priest that takes His own blood into the Holy of Holies as a sacrifice for our sin, because Christ was the sacrifice in our salvation. In Hebrews in chapter 2, back in the book of Hebrews and in chapter 2, beginning in verse 9, but we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels for the suffering of death, crowned with glory and honor, that He, by the grace of God, might taste death for everyone. Yes, He suffered death for every man. He brought about our eternal salvation. He was the sacrifice for our sins. Over in Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 13. Hebrews chapter 9, beginning in verse 13. The writer of Hebrews said, for if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctifies for the purifying of the flesh, how much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered Himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? He is a sacrifice for our sins, and we just observe that in our partaking of the Lord's Supper, in partaking of His blood and His body, in the fruit of the vine and the bread. So it must be said that Christ is the cause of our salvation in that sense. But it also must be said that the Holy Spirit is the cause of our salvation. Yes, He is the cause of our salvation. In 1 Corinthians chapter 6, 1 Corinthians and in chapter 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 6, beginning in verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed. Remember, Paul is writing to Christians. We just studied about him coming to the city of Corinth this morning. Such were some of you. Let's jump back in the text and note how immoral they were. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived, neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revilers, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God, and such were some of you. If one feels as though he can't live as a Christian today, or can't be a Christian because of the immoral lifestyle he's lived, well, people became Christians in the first century, even though they had a great immoral lifestyle before they became a Christian. If the Corinthians could change, anyone could change. Such were some of you, but you were washed. You were sanctified. When were they washed? They were washed from their sins in baptism. At the same time they were washed, they were sanctified, set apart, and consecrated to the service of God. And it says, goes on to say, but you were justified. That is, you were pronounced righteous by having done those things in the sight of God. And you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, or by the authority of the Lord Jesus, and by, note this, the Spirit of our God. So they were washed, they were sanctified and justified in the name of the Lord Jesus, and by the Spirit of our God. How is that so? It could be said then that the Holy Spirit is a cause of our salvation. But how is the Holy Spirit a cause of our salvation? When it was by or in connection with the Holy Spirit that we were washed, sanctified, and justified. It's because the Holy Spirit has given us the Word through which we learn the conditions by which we might become acceptable to God and might be forgiven of our sins. In John chapter 14, the Gospel of John, chapter 14, beginning in verse 26, Jesus said to the apostles, but the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. So the Holy Spirit was going to reveal these things to the apostles. Of course, the apostles would later on write them down in what we have as the New Testament. That is the truth, God's Word. In John 16 and in verse 13, Jesus goes on to say, John 16 and in verse 13, "However, when He, the Spirit of truth, is come, He will guide you into all truth, for He will not speak on His own authority, but whatever He hears, He will speak, and He will tell you things to come." So in a very distinctive sense, the Holy Spirit is the cause of our salvation because the Holy Spirit revealed the Word. So we have God planning our salvation, Jesus Christ being the sacrifice for our salvation, and the Holy Spirit revealing the things that are necessary for us to become Christians, or the things necessary for us to do in order to have our sins forgiven and to enter into the joys of heaven. In 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians and in chapter 2, the Apostle Paul speaks of the apostles being given this word of truth by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning our reading in verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning in verse 9. "But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, nor have entered into the heart of man, the things which God has prepared for those who love Him." Those who love Him will obey His word. "But God has revealed them to us." Revealed what to us? The things which God has prepared for those who love Him. "But God has revealed them to us apostles, through His Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. For what man knows the things of a man except the spirit of man which is in him? Even so no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might know the things that have been freely given to us by God." What are those things? The things which God has prepared for those who love Him. "These things," Paul said in verse 13, 1 Corinthians 2, "these things we also speak not in words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Spirit teaches, comparing spiritual things with," may we add, "spiritual words." The Holy Spirit gave the very words to the apostles to bring about this message of salvation to all men. So it can truly be said that the Holy Spirit is the cause of our salvation because He revealed the words that we can become obedient to have eternal salvation. That's why the gospel is referred to as God's power unto salvation, Romans 1 and verse 16, where Paul said, "I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. For it," that is the gospel, "is the power of God unto," or in order to salvation, "to everyone who believes, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Yes, the gospel is God's power to save. It is the truth that makes us free. John 8 and verse 32, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Remember, it was the truth and all the truth that was going to be delivered to the apostles by inspiration of the Holy Spirit. So God plans our salvation. He is the cause of our salvation. Christ is a sacrifice for our salvation. He is a cause of our salvation. The Holy Spirit revealed the Word that we can become obedient to and be saved. So the Holy Spirit is the cause of our salvation. But it can also be said that man himself, in a very distinctive sense, is also the cause of his own salvation. Look with me in Acts chapter 2, if you will. Acts chapter 2, and beginning in verse 38. Acts chapter 2, beginning in verse 38, and Peter speaking on the day of Pentecost, after he had preached the gospel, Peter said to them, "Repent, and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is to you and to your children, and all who are afar off, as many as the Lord our God will call." So what did Peter do after he preached the truth to them? After he revealed to them the message that came by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, well, he told them what they needed to do. God had done His part. He had planned it. Christ had done His part. He was the sacrifice. The Holy Spirit had done His part. He had revealed the word or the message that man must obey. And now what's left is for man to obey. So it can be said that in a very distinctive sense that man is the cause of his salvation. Because when he obeys, he will be saved. He'll be freed from his sins. He'll be forgiven of his sins. Again, Acts 2 and verse 38, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for, in order to, the remission of sins. In order to receive the remission of sins or the forgiveness of sins, they had to repent and be baptized. The same message that was preached on this occasion is the same message that needs to be preached to man today. There are so many people who think God does it all. Christ has done it all. The Holy Spirit has done it all. But if man is going to be a recipient of eternal salvation, he must do what the Scriptures say. Just as our text, Hebrews 5 and verse 9, Christ is the source. He is the author. He is the cause of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. On this occasion, if they had not obeyed, they would not have been forgiven of their sins. But they obeyed and they were forgiven of their sins. Acts 2 and in verse 40. And with many other words he testified and exhorted them, saying, be saved from this perverse generation. Then those who gladly received his word and were baptized, and that day about 3,000 souls were added. They accepted the word. They embraced the word and they were baptized. That's what's needed of man today. That's how his faith saves him. Acts 16 and verse 31. Paul and Silas told the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you shall be saved. That's how faith saves. You believe it and you respond in obedience to it. That's how man, in a very distinctive sense, can be said to be the cause of his salvation. Now, if you're not a recipient of the forgiveness of sins, if you have not received the remission of your sins, if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, can you blame it on God? He's done His part. Can you blame it on Christ? He's done His part. Can you blame it on the Holy Spirit? He's done His part. Whom do you have to blame? You know, many people today always complain and laugh and are always blaming their conditions of life on circumstances. It might be economic circumstances. It might be the physical circumstances that they live in, where they live. It might be the kind of job they have, the kind of boss they have. Regardless of what it is, they blame their condition on someone. I believe it's the same thing in regard to salvation. We seek someone to blame for our salvation, but we have no one to blame but ourselves. Because who is going to say God hadn't done His part? Who's going to say Christ didn't do His part? He learned obedience by the things which He suffered. He suffered to the point of death. He died for you. What more could He do? What more could God do? What more could the Holy Spirit do than to reveal the things you need to do in order to be saved? In a very distinctive sense, you are the cause of your own salvation. This is how repentance saves. Acts 17, remember in verse 30, truly these times of ignorance God overlooked, but now commands all men everywhere to repent. How does repentance save one? Get rid of the ignorance that you have in your mind. Fill it with the Word of God. Come to believe it. Embrace that Word. It will indeed save your soul. Amen. That's exactly how it is that baptism saves. 1 Peter 3 and in verse 21, as Peter said, baptism saves. Not the washing away of the filth of the body, but the answer of a good conscience. That is the pleading for a good conscience before God. Baptism saves because you obey in baptism. Just as the Corinthians were washed, then they were sanctified and justified. It all began at the point of their obedience to baptism. Won't you begin there? Won't you remain faithful Won't you continue as a child of God to work out your own salvation with fear and trembling? Philippians 2 and verse 12. You are indeed, in a very distinctive sense, the cause of your eternal salvation. If you've never obeyed the gospel, God has done His part. Christ has done His part. The Holy Spirit has done His part. You need to respond in belief of the gospel and obedience to it in baptism. If you're a child of God, having done that in times past, but have sin in your life, you need to work out your own salvation. That is, bring it to its ultimate conclusion. Continue to obey as you began. You'll bring it to its ultimate conclusion. You'll be a recipient of eternal salvation. Remember, Christ is the cause of eternal salvation to all who obey Him. The lesson is yours. If you're subject to the invitation in any way, please come as we sing the song, Selected.